We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, and it's television as well now, Dave. Get ready. This just is the start to doing more and more of me on camera. Cleaned up a little bit, Dave, haven't I?
You certainly have. I'm very proud of you.
Not the weight you've lost. So you really, during the quarantine, have lost weight, right? Didn't you say you're on this boy's life journey?
Oh, way before the quarantine. I went on keto, lost 20 pounds, and I'm keeping it off.
Oh, see, that's great.
You look as good as me now.
Put 20 pounds on, ready to be back in the wrestling ring. So that's not the best, even though I'm going to be honored in this one circle deal where they're coming back in pro wrestling. They're asking me for my videos. I'm like, oh, great. Another thing I have to go find. Okay, but Dave, introduce our guest, an Olympic champion, a tremendous story. Go ahead.
Laura Wilkinson, gold medal, and she's trying to reclaim the gold medal back, or an additional gold medal. She's had an accident, surgical, spinal reconstruction, something like that. We'll find out more about that. My original notes are somewhere else because we switched platforms here. But Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Sorry for that terrible introduction.
That's a good introduction, Dave. You don't want to put yourself down. It's called Monitor and Adjust Before the Holiday. So how are you surviving the quarantine
yourself? We're surviving. You know, I think we hit a wall at one point with the kids. I have four little kids, and so it got a little hairy there. But I think we've made it through, and we're going to make it.
that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, Laura, I want to let you know that you are not the first gold medalist that I have interviewed. I had the privilege and the honor of interviewing Bruce Jenner when he had won three-time gold medal winner, the greatest athlete in the world, right? When you win three medals, that's what gives you that title. And I interviewed him when he was Caitlyn Jenner, but that's okay. He's still a great athlete. So I wanted to ask you, what age did you start training to win this gold medal?
I actually didn't start diving until I was about 15, which is really late. Yeah, but I grew up as a gymnast. So I kind of had like the flipping the air awareness. I kind of knew how to do that. I just had to figure out how to go from my feet to my head instead. But I loved it. It was like gymnastics under the water for me. Fell in love with it day one and got pretty good pretty fast because of that background.
Yeah, it sounds like when you talk about that whole process of deciding, gymnast before, was your dream to be a gold medalist gymnast?
Oh yeah, I saw Mary Lou Retton do that perfect 10 vault, and that was what I wanted to do, you know. But I realized about 13 or 14 that I was not going to be at that level in gymnastics, although it was good and I loved it. I just had a very realistic conversation with myself, knowing that I wasn't going to be there. And I really wanted to find something that I could be that great at. And so I actually just started trying out a bunch of other sports to see like what that fit was, because I just had this dream of going to the Olympics and I had to figure out how to do it.
Wow. So you obviously had a lot of natural talent. And how old were you when you won the gold medal?
At 22. Yeah.
Amazing. And then just to fast forward, what happened between then and now to where you your life kind of went into this unexpected problem?
Oh, you know, life's crazy like that. I actually dove. So I won in 2000. So it was 20 years ago. And I continued on and went to two more Olympic Games and retired in 2008 because I wanted to become a mom. Although I was 30 and I was already like twice the age of my competitors, you know, I was already the old lady of the sport. I didn't quit because I was done diving or I didn't want to do it, but I really wanted to be a mom and I knew that window would be short. And so, you know, it took a while to get our kids, but fortunately we have two via birth and via adoption. So four little kids total, which has been amazing. And I always wanted to come back and try it again, but like the timing was just never right as we're bringing them home or I was pregnant. And fortunately I got to go to 2012 and 2016 Olympics with NBC. And so I was still kind of in that scene and I knew it was going on. And in 2016, I actually started playing in the pool just for some like mommy time, like some me time to get away from my kids for 1 hour a week. And my coach said, hey, just come play. And so I would do that like 1 hour a week. I'd come play in the pool and it just kind of felt like home, you know, and it just came back really quickly. And I asked my coach, like, would I be crazy to do this again? And yeah. he said no. And so I was like, all right, maybe I'll give it a whirl. And, you know, things came back really quickly. And by 2017, I got second at nationals, like 6 months after getting my dives off the 10 meter platform. And I was excited. But then 2018 rolled around and we had struggles bringing our fourth daughter home from Ethiopia. We were adopting her. And then once we did finally get her home, I realized my arm was like collapsing on every impact off the 10 meter. And I didn't understand what was happening because I was strong. And finally an MRI of my neck revealed that I had some really degenerated discs and it was compromising my spinal cord and it was really bad. So it was kind of a scary moment. Like I thought I was going to have to retire and just, you know, be mom and be okay with that. But then they told me that, no, you have to have the surgery anyway. You have to have it fused just to be safe so that if you don't get a car accident, you'll become a paraplegic. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I have to have this done. But the beautiful thing of that was, as I went through the surgery, now I will be safe and healthy as a mom, but it also affords me the opportunity to dive again. And, you know, I use this Orthovix bone stimulator and, you know, I did all these things to try to help my recovery just speed up. And I kind of just did everything that I was told to do by my doctors. Yeah. I wanted it to go really well. And I was back in the water after 3 months, very slowly, still stiff. Wow. But, you know, I took most of 2019 to work my way back up to the 10 meter. And I started competing this spring again, February and March. I had some my first competition since before the surgery. So I was excited and we were like going for it, you know, and then all of a sudden all of this lovely COVID happened.
But I cannot believe how you could be diving at that age in the sport. Is that a normal thing? Or are you just like this, there's not many athletes that are competing in the Olympics in their 40s.
You know, and do you have your doctor's blessing?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But yeah, no, I was old at 30 for my, especially my event and platform. The women tend to be younger on platform and a little bit older on the springboard because it's a little easier on the body to go down at the lower level. But yeah, you know, I like to pave new roads. There's been a few older Olympians. There's Oksana Chusovitina. I think she just qualified for like her 8th Olympic Games in gymnastics. She'll be 46 next year. Yeah, crazy. And Dara Torres won 3 silvers, I believe, in Beijing at 41. So there have been a few, you know, older women to do it, but not in my sport.
You're gonna start a club, right?
Well, that would be cool.
You should do a virtual quarantine of medalists that are competing at a later age in the sport. I mean, that's fantastic. Gives me that mindset. I got to get back in the ring, Dave, as a former pro wrestler. You know, I've been away 20 years. If Laura can do it away 20 years. Again, I should.
Why not?
Why can't I? Well, again, pro wrestlers, they're not in the best shape.
You're still in your 40s, right, Neil?
47. I'm 47. So 47. I left the pro wrestling ring in Bremen, Germany at age, I guess.
I think Muhammad Ali was doing it in his 40s, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing. Ric Flair's doing it in his 70s. So we don't even want to – I totally decided to finally retire. I don't know. I mean, whatever. But you're inspiring. But again, I need an inspirational thing. I've been creative through the quarantine, but I need an inspiration. Another thing. It's like everything this quarantine says, okay, let's check this off the list. Because I'm not fearful to try to – I own a digital marketing tech company, but I'm not in publicity, but I'm fearful to expand during this time. It's more I want to learn things and be ready once the economy comes back. Why put all this effort? Because it's not about finding clients. It's about finding the right people to expand. And it's hard to find good workers. So we need to get through all this. And it's a great time. It's the biggest recommendation. Learn something new. Learn 30 things new during this time period because you'll be thanking yourself to educate yourself. So when things get normal, the new normal, we'll be ready. Dave, next question for Laura.
So what are you doing to get ready for this when they do let you compete again?
Good question. Well, it was a little weird there at first. I was able to borrow some mats from our gym and do flips and things here at the house. And our team was having some online Zoom workouts daily. And so I'd be up in the game room trying to do my little workout with the team and my kids would be crawling all over me or trying to jump in the workout. And so, you know, at first I was like really frustrated at that. But then I realized, hey, I don't have meat tomorrow. I need to just kind of let go of the control. It's okay if they're part of this. And it's been really cool because my kids have been able to see how much work I put into this. And I mean, they see how hot and sweaty I get. They see how exhausted I am. They're trying to have conversations with me as I'm like in the middle of huffing and puffing and I can't breathe, you know, but they're understanding like what it takes to do something really exciting. You know what I mean? And that it takes a lot of work. And now they're starting to encourage me and they're trying to coach me sometimes. And it's really fun for them to see it. Not just that mommy goes somewhere for a few hours to do this thing. They're actually seeing it. And it's been providing some really cool conversations for us. And you know, I kind of hope to take this new feeling forward, like to just let go of some of the control issues that we all have. We all want it to go our way and perfectly. And that's just not life. It just, it throws you punches. And every time we've been thrown these challenges, every time I've been thrown a challenge like this, you know, it's taught me I've had to step outside my comfort zone. I've had to work on something, doing it different, thinking outside the box and getting creative. And that's always made me better. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean I always like it, but it's always made me better. So now I kind of embrace these times and I look forward to, okay, what's going to change? Like, how am I going to come out of this different? And I'm actively looking for it. And it's more of an exciting challenge instead of a scary or overwhelming challenge, you know?
And then you talk about that process of because of COVID-19. So you're like, I trained, I made this great comeback, COVID-19 comes, dealing with it in the training process. How do you feel for other athletes that might not, you know what to do to keep in the right shape, but again, you're limited to the pool the first X amount of months to even train, and because you're a world-class athlete. But what about those other athletes that don't have the luxury of, you know, your resume, your experience, all these things that help you to open a few more doors than an athlete that hasn't gotten to that level? How do you feel for all those athletes that can't compete right now?
Well, I think it's all about your perspective. I mean, I went through this at 22. I mean, I left a college scholarship to go home and train for the Olympics for 2000. And I shattered my foot in three places 3 months before the Olympic trials. So like, you know, I had to figure out how to get through it. Like everybody's in the same situation right now. Like whether you have experience or not, you are up against a roadblock. What are you going to do? Are you going to quit and walk away? Are you going to feel sorry for yourself and play the victim? Or are you going to like put your big kid panties on and, you know, big girl panties or big boy undies on and get out there and try something different and move past this? It's all about your perspective and what you really want to do. And this is the moment where we're really going to find out what people are made of.
She really talks like an Olympian, doesn't she?
That's why I love Olympic athletes, because they set the goals so high for themselves and they really know.
You just can't complain about anything around them.
No, you, especially if she was teaching you or coaching you or doing something and you got on the phone saying, I forgot to do something, or I forgot to do my Facebook Live. She'd say, why would you do that? There's no reason you would. That you have to keep doing that. I can see that with your kids too. I know you can compete. I know you're tired. You're sick. It doesn't matter. That's the mindset you have to be successful. The successful people have a different mindset if they've been successful in anything, that there's no roadblock for them. Yes, there's going to be an obstacle, but I'm going to break through that obstacle, Dave. I'm going to smash it, because you have to have that mindset or forget about it. You're not going to be successful. Back your mind, you're not going to be able to do something, forget about it.
And I don't want you to think, though, as an Olympian, I don't want you to think that, like, if you don't have that mindset, then you can't do it. Because that's a mindset that you're not just born with. Like, you learn it because you come up against these situations and you make a decision. So anybody can have this mindset at any time when they decide to do it. Some people catch on a lot earlier. Some people catch on later. Some people don't end up with these roadblocks until later in life, to when they have to say, oh, wow, am I going to like get up and do this or am I not? Exactly. So anybody can learn or choose to do this.
But the bottom line, Laura, is how bad do you want it?
Yes.
And what price are you willing to pay?
Yep. Right. You got it.
So your kids, have they caught the Olympian bug too? Or
they get excited sometimes. I mean, they're still pretty young. My oldest just turned 9 and she actually dove for a couple years because she wanted to do what mommy was doing. And she tells me a lot that she wants to be on TV one day for something that she does, like for sports in some way. So I was like, well, you got to pick one and stick with it. But yeah, I mean, they don't totally get what's going on. They do a little bit, but I think as we get closer and like Olympic trials happen, Olympic games happen, I think they'll start to, you know, understand a little bit more.
So how disappointed were you with the Olympics canceled? You talked more about training and what you had to deal with COVID-19, but the disappointment or how your mindset is to when finally you'll get to compete in the Olympics. It looks like it probably will be without an audience, unless somehow something else happens. You might not perform in front of fans. There's a decent shot, unless they wait longer and longer, there won't be fans. But I don't know how the Olympics could survive with that compared to NFL or certain other sports.
I mean, it's hard to tell because we're still over a year out. So, I mean, a lot of things can change in that time. We'll definitely see then. But, you know, the Olympics, no matter if it's this year going through or if it's a normal Olympics, like, there's always going to be weird challenges. It's always kind of an unforeseen, like, stuff just happens that you aren't expecting at the Olympics. So you have to be ready to roll with whatever it is. And bottom line, when you're in your competition, you got to be ready to compete. You know what I mean? You know how to compete. You know what you're doing. And that's, you got to let everything else go. No matter if there's 15,000 people in the stands or zero, you still have to be able to get up there and do your thing the way you've been training to do it. You know, that's kind of the bottom line. But when COVID first hit, like I was a little, I just kind of taken aback. I didn't really realize what was going on because I had kind of tuned out the news for a few months because I was just trying to keep focused and not, news can bring me down and then get me upset. So I try not to listen to it for a few months. So I had no idea what was going on. And so when I found out all the NCAAs were getting shut down and it was like all of a sudden the rodeo, like everything, it was, and, you know, it was like every day something was happening. We were waking up to a new damage report. And then all of a sudden the Olympics became part of that talk. And every day, you know, it was like, something's going to happen, but nothing was happening. And that to me was more nerve wracking than when they finally said, okay, we're postponing it. That was kind of a relieving, like, okay, at least we know now. And like, now we can make a new plan going forward. And I'm really thankful they didn't cancel it because it's never been postponed before. It's been canceled for wars. It's been boycotted, but it's never been postponed. So I'm really grateful that they didn't cancel it. Cause I think that would have probably, I don't think I would have gone another 4 years, but 1 year I can do 1 year, you know, and I'm still recovering. So for me, I'm very fortunate. It's a blessing. Like I have lots of time now to kind of get back into it, get comfortable with my dives and be confident, hopefully going into next year. You know, where I really feel for is the athletes who like were pushing so hard and they were so ready and this was it for them. And they just were ready to move on with their lives. And I mean, I kind of was too, a little bit like ready to move past this, but you know, that's the struggle is where you have to like, kind of like let all that go. You have to kind of grieve it out a little bit. And then you have to like find that fire again and be ready to move forward.
Awesome.
Remind me, is it in China?
In Japan, Tokyo.
Japan. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
You said that's good.
Well, yeah, because if it was in China, you know, there's a lot of anti-China sentiment right now.
Winter 2022
then it probably wouldn't happen.
Oh, the winter 22 is in Beijing.
Good luck with that. Let me know how that turns out.
You don't want to – don't disappoint our winter athletes, Dave. You can't do that. Now, Laura, what's going on with – so do you have other things? You seem like you would be a phenomenal motivational speaker. You seem like you would be a great coach. What are you also
doing? An author, too.
An author. Well, Dave always has to say, there will be a book in the mix once she wins another gold medal. But you have to wait to the retirement, the final retirement. But what else are you doing? Are you training or do you have other projects as well?
I have lots of little things going on. I mean, I'm definitely training. We are back in our dry land gym, but not in the pool yet. Hopefully later this summer, we'll kind of see. I'm in Texas, so we are reopening and we're fortunate to kind of be ahead of the curve there. But yeah, I have a small book coming out. It's not like an autobiography, but it's kind of like a life lessons learned from 10 meter. And that's coming out this summer. I'm about to launch a podcast. I've done my first 6 episodes. I'm really excited. It's called Mission Gold. Yeah. And I'm talking to Olympians, elite athletes, coaches, experts, and just kind of like anything the athlete needs to get to that like ultimate goal. Like that's what we want to give them. So it's been really fun for me because I'm still an athlete learning too. So it's really fun for me to talk to all these other.
Is it a sports podcast?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, definitely. Then you're, thank you. I killed two birds with one stone. I write for Podcast Magazine. And awesome. I'm the sports category director, and I guess you'll be in August issue then, because I need to get these interviews, and you're perfect, and I wanted something in another sport, so we'll have to ask a podcasting question before we leave. But
all right,
I don't know if you checked out podcast.
And you're doing the new interview.
Really good, and I'm featuring this month. Oh my gosh, it'll come to me, but I interview so many people, but. Podcast Magazine, check it out, everybody. It'll come to me after that. But Dave, ask your caregiver question, and then what I'm going to do is jump back with a podcasting question or two so I can add that to Beyond the Microphone for the August edition. Go ahead with your question, Dave.
The caregiver question?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm Caregiver Dave. They call me that because I've been caregiving my wife for the last 21 years. She was complaining about a headache, lost her speech, became paralyzed, had a stroke on one side. And we had a couple of years of hell, you know, the grief period. We almost broke up. But then we hung in there. And we, you know, like an Olympian, we stuck it out. Our love slowly rekindled. And now we travel all across the country and we share our story, how to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from killing you. Because there's so many other caregivers out there. I mean, I've spoken on 34 TV shows across the nation, NASDAQ, Carnegie Hall, Harvard, Suzanne Summers, Martha Stewart shared the stage with. And so my question is, I wrote this book. It's My Life Too, Thrive and Stay Alive as a Caregiver. And I've got a membership website, caregiverdave.com, to help caregivers just have an online support group. Because I truly believe that everyone, there's no one who's exempt. Everyone is going to eventually become a caregiver or need a caregiver. And so now is the time to learn how to become a caregiver. So my question to you, Laura, is has caregiving touched your life or the lives of your families or relatives?
Yeah, to an extent. My grandmother, well, she lost her husband when they first kind of went into a nursing home. And so she was on her own a lot and lived about 20 minutes from us. So we were always kind of down there trying to take care of her and take her out. And my grandfather had dealt with dementia. And so my grandmother was trying to take care of him. And that's when it kind of went downhill. So yeah, we've definitely kind of been impacted by that as well.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, a lot of people get burned out. So that's why, like it says, anyone who goes to caregiverdave.com, caregivers, or even if you're not a caregiver, everyone knows a caregiver. And caregivers will give and give and give till there's nothing left to give. So I encourage people who know caregivers to buy them a membership in my Caregiver Dave website, because they're going to, you might be giving them the gift of life. Caregivers will give their last breath to someone else, but they won't give anything to themselves. You know, got to put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
And I tell you what he's going through with COVID-19 and a lot of these families he's dealing with and caregivers, what they're going through, especially with their loved ones, not being able to practice social distancing. It's so difficult. And when my mom, even though I'm coming to her house for the office, cause I have six kids, Laura, and I couldn't take it anymore. So I moved my office to my mom's up in the third floor area. Cause I thought I cannot work downstairs in that basement anymore. Cause they're done. They don't have camps, anything. I'm like, I'm out. I have to. And it was the best deal because I've been the most focused in my office ever in years I work from home. But let's jump to podcasting real quick. Couple of questions. Why did you start the podcast?
Well, I love podcasts, and I wanted to do one a few years ago, but since I was working for NBC, I wasn't allowed to do it at the same time. And then I had an opportunity to jump on with an organization called Hope Sports that brings athletes together to build homes for the poor in Mexico. I'd been on a few home builds. They wanted to start a podcast, so I decided to host for them, and I got to do it. I did a season with them. That's kind of all they ended up doing, but it was really fun for me to talk to athletes, and I said, well, I want to take it my own direction. I want to be able to ask them what I want to ask them. I want to bring in more people, and I want to encourage other athletes. I have an online course as well where I try to teach mental skills to athletes. And I want to be able to equip other athletes with all the tools that they need to succeed, because not everybody has access to those. So I've just been really fortunate in my life, and I want to be able to pass that on.
So what athletes are you, of you so far that before your podcast drops, what athletes have you interviewed so far?
Greg Louganis, the legend, and Mariel Zagunas, two-time Olympian gold medal fencer, who else I talked to? Kat Osterman, she's on the returning softball Olympic team for 2020, and she was on the 2004 and 2008 team as well. Who else did I have? Kim Zemeskal, who is a 1992 Olympic gymnast and is now one of the best coaches in the country. A lot of fun people like that, so it's been really good.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And what makes you the happiest about podcasting, the challenges of podcasting? Your kids being here, the truth, finding the right place to do it, right?
Yeah, I hide in the closet. So we just do audio. We don't do any video because you just see my dirty laundry. Like I tell people as a joke, like, this is where we air our dirty laundry. It's okay. You're safe here. Nobody else can hear you. But I have learned that that's the best sound in my house is in the closet where the clothes can like muffle all the echoes and stuff. And so it's been kind of fun to learn those things.
Awesome. And the feature for this coming month, June, is Ike Taylor. I just had to remember that. I've interviewed so many people, Laura, just this week, I can't even remember. And that's wrestling from CTE, but maybe not, maybe because I'm just too much and I'm as energy leveled as you are. as we just keep going, going, going. This is a Friday at 5:30, everybody, just to know. So, and 4:30 for her time, and it's a Friday, and we're ready for the long weekend. Best place we can find information on you, where can we go?
At laurawilkinson.com. You can find all my socials and all my stuff there.
Awesome. And Dave, caregiverdave.com. Great interview. Caregiver Dave. And Dave, again, I always get you moving, right? On a Friday or whatever day it is. You never know who you're going to interview. And you're great at monitoring and adjusting. And that's what a journalist does, monitors and adjusts. Well, thank you again for listening to the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment, guys. Yeah. And you're listening to Neil Haley's show. And we'll be back in just a moment.